Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. All Season 3 episodes are available now. Stream every episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download the Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Shampoo. It's KFI AM 640 Live, everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Next hour, you'll have a shot at a $100 gas card. KFI has given them away all day on the various shows. Stay tuned for your chance to get that card from the John and Ken Show by begging. Yes, begging in any manner you want to convince our three judges that you are worthy of the $100 gas card.
We have a three-judge appeals panel.
We're going to be talking to Sacramento County Sheriff Scott Jones at 5:05. A lot of it will be about the Sacramento shooting and the California criminal justice system. Supposedly this hour, we may still get a news conference out of New York about the subway shootings.
It looks like it's going to be happening any second now, Ken.
Any second.
Somebody's walking up to the podium. Can't tell who that is, but...
Yes. Deputy Commissioner for Intelligence and Counterterrorism. We're here to provide an update on the ongoing investigation into the shooting that occurred earlier today in Brooklyn. We're going to hear from Police Commissioner of the City of New York, Keyshawn Sewell, Chief of Department Ken Corey. We have First Deputy Commissioner Ed Caban here. Chief of Detectives James Essig will update us on the investigation. We also have Assistant Director in charge of the FBI, in charge of the New York office, Mike Driscoll, and the JTTF efforts with the NYPD that are ongoing, as well as the special agent in charge of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, John DeVito. But we'll begin with word from Gracie Mansion from the mayor of the city of New York, Eric Adams.
We can't hear him. He's talking. He's talking, but we cannot hear the mayor.
He's on a video screen behind the podium.
Right.
His mouth is moving, but there's no sound coming out.
He's got COVID, right?
Oh, yeah, I think he does.
Yeah, the mayor has COVID in New York. That's why he's kind of isolated.
Now he just, his feed disappeared.
Oh, no. All right, move on.
Evaporated. All right.
What are they going to do now?
Everyone's staring.
We're going to the next guest.
No one, that's right, he listed a long lineup there. We don't need to hear from the mayor. What does he know?
He's going to say thoughts and prayers.
Okay. Well, that was informative.
That's weird that they're doing that.
I'm looking at everybody's blank looks.
And the video screen went blank, you said?
Yeah. Well, it just went blue. And on TV now, on CNN, they're just panning from face to face.
What happened? It sounded like everything dropped out.
Thank you all for your patience.
Still nothing, though.
I guess the next speaker wasn't ready because the mayor was supposed to talk
for maybe for, talk for, yeah, 5 minutes.
For a few minutes.
We're having audio difficulties, so what we're going to do is...
Clearly you are.
We're going to talk to the police commissioner, and when we...
Here comes the police commissioner in New York.
Okay. Thank you all for attending this evening and helping us get this information out to the public. It's so important. We are truly fortunate that this was not significantly worse than it is. As we reported this afternoon, a man who was traveling on a Manhattan-bound N train opened two canisters that dispensed smoke throughout the subway car. He then shot multiple passengers as the train pulled into the 36th Street station in Sunset Park. 10 people were injured by gunfire, and an additional 13 were either injured as they rushed to get out of the train station or they suffered smoke inhalation. Some good news is that none of the injuries appear to be life-threatening. As detectives processed the crime scene, they recovered a 9mm semi-automatic handgun, extended magazines, and a hatchet. Also found is a liquid we believe to be gasoline and a bag containing consumer-grade fireworks and a hobby fuse. About an hour ago, detectives located a U-Haul van in Brooklyn that we believe is connected to the suspect. At this time, we still do not know the suspect's motivation. Clearly, this individual boarded the train and was intent on violence. We are conducting a highly coordinated investigation that includes NYPD detectives, the FBI NYPD Joint Terrorism Task Force, and the ATF, who have been instrumental in tracing the firearm and ballistics. The suspect is a dark-skinned male and was wearing a neon orange vest and a gray-colored sweatshirt. We do have a person of interest in this investigation, but we need the public's assistance with additional information. We're asking anyone with information to call Crime Stoppers at 800-577-TIPS.
What's happened now?
I don't know.
The feed drop?
What's this audio?
I don't know.
We cannot lose sight of victims in this city. We will use every resource we can to bring those to justice who continue to prey on the citizens of New York. I'll ask Chief James Essick to come in and give details of the investigation.
Person of interest.
Good evening, everybody. Today at 8:24 a.m., aboard a Manhattan-bound N train, 10 people were shot, 7 males.
Yeah.
3 females, and they were removed to area hospitals. An additional 13 people suffered injuries related to smoke inhalation, falling down, or a panic attack. The information I'm about to give you is preliminary, and it's subject to change right now. As that N train was between stations 59th Street and the 36th Street stations, seated in the second car in the rear corner was a dark-skinned male. Various descriptions of his height are given. He is heavy-set, wearing an orange-green nylon-type construction vest. He also had on a gray hoodie, a surgical mask, and a neon-green construction helmet. As the train approached the 36th Street station, witnesses state the male opened up 2 smoke grenades, tossed them on the subway floor, brandishes a Glock 9mm handgun. He then fired that weapon at least 33 times, striking 10 people. The male then fled the scene, and detectives are actively trying to determine his whereabouts. Recovered at that scene was a Glock 17 9mm handgun, 3 extended Glock-type magazines. One was still in the weapon, one under a seat, and one in a backpack. We had 33 discharged shell casings, 15 bullets, 5 bullet fragments, 2 detonated smoke grenades, 2 non-detonated smoke grenades, a hatchet, a black garbage can, a black milk type style rolling cart,
there it
the
is.
Gasoline, and a U-Haul key. The U-Haul key at the scene led us to the recovery of a U-Haul van a short while ago in Brooklyn. The male, who we believe is the renter of this U-Haul in Philadelphia, is a Frank R. James, male, 62 years old, with addresses in Wisconsin and Philadelphia. We are endeavoring to locate him to determine his connection to the subway shooting, if any. The two crime scenes, the subway and the van, are very active and are still being processed. We are asking for anyone's help with information, cell phone video, witness information, or any if they can identify the perpetrator or the renter of this vehicle, to call Crime Stoppers at 1-800-577-TIPS. There is a $50,000 reward out right now. $25,000 from the New York City Police Foundation, $12,500 from the MTA, and $12,500 from the TWA Local 100. I just want to assure everyone that we in the NYPD have all our resources working this, along with our partners in the FBI and the ATF, to find this perpetrator. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Mike Driscoll.
The mayor's back.
He also left a credit card behind.
He did, yeah. That milk crate.
I don't know whose credit card.
Mr. Mayor, we're ready for you.
They don't have the guy's name?
Yeah, Frank R. James.
Well, yeah, they don't know if that's him or...
That might be the U-Haul renter's name, yeah.
Today was a difficult day for New York.
Well, the days like these are playing out too often in cities across America.
As mentioned this morning, we witnessed an act of violence and evil in the heart of Brooklyn, where a shooter attacked a subway car full of innocent people at the 36th Street station. We saw a quiet Tuesday morning turn the entrain into a war zone as a smoke bomb was detonated and multiple shots rang out. We witnessed 20 individuals have been injured so far, as it was mentioned. And thanks to the quick thinking of the MTA crew and the bravery and cooperation of passengers, lives were saved. And thanks to our first responders, the injured were quickly taken to area hospitals, and all of them are expected to recover. You know, I have been realistic and outspoken about my commitment to protecting public safety. I stand by that and will continue to do everything in my power to dam the rivers that feed the sea of violence. But this is not only a New York City problem. This rage, this violence, these guns, these relentless shooters are an American problem. And it's going to take all levels of government to solve it. It is going to take the entire nation to speak out and push back against the cult of death that has taken hold in this nation. A cult that allows innocents to be sacrificed on a daily basis. A country where buying weapons of mass destruction is as easy as picking up a piece of plywood or a garden shovel. A country where there are more guns than people. There are over 400 million guns in this country alone. The U.S. gun homicide rate is 26 times that of other high-income
countries. And throw the bad guys in prison.
Where over 100 people die in gun violence every day. Guns are the leading cause of death for American children and teens, like the 16-year-old baby we lost in the Bronx. From schools in Columbine, Sandy Hook, and Virginia, to music festivals in Las Vegas, to nightclubs in Orlando, to movie theaters and yoga classes across the nation. These killers have used weapons of mass destruction to massacre innocent people. They control no armies or military forces, yet these individual killers terrorize our nation. I've often said that this city is not going to adapt to dysfunction. Ending gun violence means changing gun laws. We cannot clean up a flood when the water is still pouring into the basement. And we can never stop the killing if we cannot stop the guns. To be clear, we will not surrender our city to the violent few, and we will not surrender all of America to this cult of death. The sea of violence comes from many rivers.
Oh, you know, this is just political gas here.
The greatest crisis.
Mayor's statement,
that is the work of my life, this administration, and this police.
You have no bail in New York City. You have a district attorney who doesn't want to charge many crimes.
You know my word, as a former police officer, a fellow New Yorker.
People get arrested and commit crimes four times over in a day.
And that will capture.
You don't have any police or enough police in the subways.
We will capture him and prosecute him to the full extent of the law.
Sure.
Thank you, NYPD, FDNY, our first responders, and the collaboration of the federal government, the state, the city agencies.
Daily Mail has quite an update
on this. I'd like to turn it over to Assistant Special Agent in charge of the FBI New York office, Michael Driscoll.
Let's see what this is first.
Thank you, Commissioner. I want to start by expressing our hopes and prayers that the victims of this event will enjoy a quick recovery. They are our primary focus right now. I also want to echo the thanks for the partnership to the NYPD, the ATF, and all the partners who are contributing to this investigation. Right now, the FBI NYPD Joint Terrorism Task Force is fully engaged with this investigation, providing assistance through manpower, technical assistance, and basically everything we can throw at it.
I got photos of the guy up on TV now.
To be a long one as we gather all possible information to track down all possible leads. And I would encourage you, as it was mentioned earlier, to please reach out to the NYPD tip line at 1-800-577-TIPS. And I would also add, as frequently the case in many of our current investigations, everyone's got a cell phone in their pocket. There's a lot of video out there. If you have digital information that you'd like to share with us in connection with this investigation, please visit FBI.gov/Brooklyn shooting, where you can upload that information. So we are seeking the public's help. You heard mentioned before of a name of possible interest. Videos would be particularly helpful,
James,
or any other additional witnesses who have yet to come forward that can provide information that might help this investigation. So thank you for your participation, and I thank everyone for their partnership in the course of the investigation. Thank you.
All right, I think we're going to drop out here because
they're not going to tell us
anymore. The Daily Mail and CNN have quite some explosive new details on the story this afternoon. Investigators, they believe they know who he is, having identified the suspect after finding a credit card at the scene used to rent the U-Haul cargo van, which we've talked about. It's a cargo van that was rented out of Philadelphia with Arizona plates. However, further on in the story, according to sources, this is a suspect who was already known to the FBI, having been on their radar in New Mexico.
Of course.
Until he was cleared following multiple interviews in 2019. He's believed to have traveled from New Mexico and then rented a U-Haul in Philadelphia. The U-Haul was found 5 miles from the scene in Brooklyn. So it almost seems like they believe that he is...
He was in the Guardian Lead Terrorism Monitoring System in New Mexico.
Yeah, what is the Guardian Lead System?
Never heard. And then they
did he come across the border? I don't know.
I don't know. He looks like he's black. He doesn't look Hispanic, and he's got crazy bulging eyes. And
have a picture, and they are identifying that person as Frank R. James, or is that just the person they're looking for?
They're looking for Frank R. James. I guess that's the photo. It looks like a 62-year-old man.
Yeah, he's now, identified as 62 years old.
I guess that's the shooter.
Is this terrorism after all? Like some crazy kind of domestic terrorism?
How could he be in a terrorism database already? But of course they let him go.
Because they had suspicions about him in 2019 and interviewed him, but I guess they kept him in the database.
There's one subway rider who said he came face to face with the shooter. He noticed the guy sitting in the corner muttering to himself. I looked at him and I thought to myself, he was talking to himself for a while. So I looked at him and I was thinking, this guy must be on drugs. When the train was about to hit 36th Street, we stopped for 5 minutes. He takes out a gas mask from one of his little luggages. He opened one of the gas tanks and said, oops, my bad. He pulls out an axe, drops it. He takes a gun out. He starts shooting. Huh. He turned right at this man who managed to dodge the bullet. Man's name is Fitim Gejiloshi. We got to take a break. Are we doing a commercial break or no?
We are not.
No, we're going to. Okay, we're going to keep going. Good.
Right. I'm looking at a further story in Newsweek. The suspect was previously known to the FBI, was entered into the Guardian lead system in New Mexico, though he was cleared after interviews in 2019. Now, this story, which came out a short while ago, doesn't have his name. But a person was in custody hours after a vehicle of interest had been discovered. You heard the police commissioner in New York, she spoke first, say that they did have a person of interest in custody, but they wanted the public's help with more information, which I thought was kind of cryptic.
That's right. It wasn't clear whether this guy, Frank R. James, they consider the shooter or not. Are they looking?
That's right.
They're looking for him. Is there a second guy who rented the van?
Yeah, they found a credit card, which they traced to the van rental, the U-Haul rental, down in Philadelphia, and they believe that that renter was Frank R. James. But that doesn't mean the shooter was Frank R. James. But you're saying the picture that they put up?
Yeah, the picture of this older-looking black man, two photos. One, he's wearing an orange T-shirt.
That would match the description of Frank R. Yeah.
Yeah.
A black male, 5'5", 175 to 180 pounds is what people were saying.
Right. I mean, it's only from the chest up, the photos, but it looks like that would be him.
Right.
He's wearing a baseball cap in the other picture and a white-gray sweatshirt. And he's really got the bulging crazy eyes in the second picture.
Yeah, this story I'm looking at now is saying there was some sort of dispute. The suspect is, he entered a northbound R train in Brooklyn. A dispute allegedly ensued, followed by the detonation of the smoke bombs. The nature of the altercation remains unknown. The train continued to the next stop where the gunfire erupted. And that's where you saw everybody pour out of the subway car there with those doors open.
Oh, yeah.
He was wearing a gas mask, a construction vest, and a gray hoodie. And there are some reports he may have worn an MTA uniform and utility belt, which makes you think, you know, the nexus to terrorism, which they denied this morning. But apparently the mayor, and in a later interview, Mayor Adams didn't want to give up on that.
What was he up to that they had to interview him multiple times?
Yeah, in New Mexico, 2019.
And he's in a terrorism monitoring system.
That's weird.
When you're interviewing people multiple times, boy, that's pretty close to you did something.
There's strong suspicion that they would contact you several times for interviews.
But they couldn't.
Is it something he posted on social media or some tip they got about him or some behavior or maybe something he purchased? It's not clear.
Yeah.
But
how many times do we find out when a guy does a mass shooting, he was already on some law enforcement's radar? He'd already been arrested for something, questioned for something, you know, interrogated, but they let him go. They knew they had a file on him. I mean, almost every time.
Yeah. And again, in case you missed it, one of the big breaks in this story is that the gun probably jammed on him, which is why he then just turned and fled and left behind his portable milk crate with his stuff in it, which they got a hold of, including, we believe, this credit card, which they have traced to the U-Haul truck rental. What has Rolling Stone got here? A police error may have contributed to the Brooklyn subway shooter's escape.
And then there's always one of those stories.
Yeah. Oh, this one, I have to subscribe to see the rest of the story. I'll have to look that one up later. But that's your update. And again, a lot of the people, I mean, 10 people were shot, but there's another, you heard the mixture of some was smoke inhalation. Some people just had a panic attack. They ended up, I think, hospitalizing as many as 30 people. But the latest report we get is that 10 people were actually shot. And while a couple are in critical condition, they're stable and they're expected to survive. But this is quite a story. So we'll keep a track on it for you. And that was just an update of a press conference from New York City on the Brooklyn subway shooting. And a man they've identified as Frank R. James seems to be the person of interest. It's just not clear as to whether or not they already have him in custody or someone else, because I know the police commissioner said we have a person of interest. Maybe she just meant we have a person of interest. We don't have him in custody. We just have a person we're looking for.
Yeah, it wasn't clear.
It wasn't too clear. But
it seemed that like they're still looking for him, just from the way they were talking, that they were going to prosecute him to the fullest extent of the law. We'll find him and prosecute him. So,
all right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken show, John Cobell and Ken Shampo. It's KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, we'll be joined by the Sacramento County Sheriff Scott Jones after the news at 5 o'clock. The main topic will be Smiley Martin, who was released from prison in February after serving less than half of a 10-year sentence for punching and whipping his girlfriend with a belt. And, of course, he's been arrested, one of a couple of people arrested in the big Sacramento shootout that occurred early Sunday morning, April 3rd, six people dead, another dozen people injured.
It's funny, I'm going through the New York Post story on the subway shooting, and they're interviewing some subway riders, and they all want more cops.
Oh, yeah.
I've been wanting to see more cops in the subways for a long time. Sometimes it takes something drastic to bring about real change, said one woman. Another woman says, I'll feel safer seeing officers in uniform down there. Officers will be a deterrent to people wanting to commit crimes as well. Another one says, I'm glad the mayor's office is finally opening his eyes to the dangers of riding the subway. Too bad it took a terror attack.
They've had so many attacks, but a lot of it is just people, one person shoved, another person attacked or stabbed. But when you have this many people shot at once, everyone's like, now we got to do something.
No more defund the police? Nobody? Defund the police? Any takers?
No? That's dead.
Nothing. I think there's a whole line of work just analyzing mass hysteria. I've never seen so many waves of mass hysteria in our society. And they seem, some of them seem to go about 2 years before it crests and then collapses. And I think the defund the police has collapsed completely now.
Oh, I think that collapsed last year when we started to see the rising crime. People realized that that was dopey.
Defund the police.
The politicians backed off from it. Stopped taking a knee.
Garcetti taking a knee.
Like we told you, even Seattle elected a whole different mayor with a whole different approach and a couple of city council members. Hopefully that's going to happen here.
It has to.
San Francisco might recall its DA. Little things, but they can add up. All right, so the Sacramento County Sheriff will be here after 5 o'clock. And again, next hour, we do have a chance for you to win a $100 gas card. All you have to do is beg enough to win our votes. So yesterday it worked out pretty nicely. We gave the gas card away to a woman who wanted to take her family on a trip. Remember that?
To Lompoc,
to see other family members, including, a brother that had a lung transplant or something?
Yes, and she didn't even use the lung transplant for sympathy during her pitch.
She didn't. That came afterwards, after we congratulated her for winning. You can get a chance to win a $100 gas card all day long on KFI. Handle at 9 a.m., Gary and Shannon at 11. We do it during our 5 o'clock hour. And your final chance to win each day is at 7 p.m. with Tim Conway Jr. This story that came out this week is not a big surprise. California public school enrollment has dropped for a fifth year in a row, a decline of more than 110,000 students. So last year and the year before, when you lock down the schools for as long as we did here in the state, and we told you yesterday a brand new report ranked California near the bottom and at managing COVID-19, because you have to bring in factors like the economy and the schools.
And at the bottom,
the death rates.
At the bottom for schools. No state was worse at locking kids out than California.
Right.
We were the most vicious state in the nation when it came to caring for our kids.
This is the first time since the year 2000 that California's K-12 public school population has dipped below 6 million students. And large urban districts, what do you know, accounted for one-third of the drop. LA Unified was the worst of the worst in this state. They would not reopen for the longest time. They kept everybody masked. No wonder. Some people moved out of the state, or some people just took their kids out of the public schools and found another way to educate them.
There's absolutely no way, if my kids were in LA public schools during this, that I'd stay in that system. You have to move. You have to, find maybe a Catholic school that's affordable. Go into the suburbs. Go to another state. You can't do this. You can't do this with your kids' lives. I mean, if you actually care about your kids.
Right.
But there's no excuse for keeping them in the LA school system. I mean, it's a really, really bad system for starters, right? On its best day, it's horrific. It's one of the worst in the country. One of the worst in the history of the nation. And then they just shut down for 16 months? I'm sorry. You bring your kid to LA public school system after all this?
So,
I mean, you're giving them brain damage. It's child abuse.
Some people put their kids into private school. They saw an increase in enrollment there. Homeschooling increased, and then there was people who moved out of state. We talked about how a number of Californians left the state. All this contributed to the enrollment drop.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands left, and I wonder how many of them was motivated by their kids and schooling. You know, there's never any breakdown of who left. Seems to be a lot of middle-class families left, but I bet you one of the drivers was the school systems and the closures.
The largest drops by grade level were among 1st, 4th, 7th, and 9th graders. And among racial groups, the white students, the biggest decline, 5% drop. Black students next, Asians. It was only a 1% drop in Latino students because
they're the poorest.
They're the poorest, especially with regards to LA Unified. What else are they going to do? They don't have the options to put their kids in private school or to homeschool them because they may have jobs that they have to attend to. So it's not that surprising that that was the smallest ethnic group in terms of enrollment.
These big city public schools, they should bulldoze the old system and start all over again. There's nothing good about it. Just nothing.
Yeah.
So it's a total disaster. It's wasted. Fire everybody. Start over again. Never let a new teachers union have the power to do what they've done to all the children. Is the craziest abuse I've ever seen in my life towards innocent school children with the LA teachers union did.
LA Unified saw a drop in the fall of 2021 by more than 27,000 students. That was a drop of 6%, a much steeper slide than in any recent year. They're now talking about closing some schools down. Because they don't have. Remember, years ago they were all building. They want to build all these schools.
You know what's sad is over 40% of the state budget goes to funding education. Over 40% K through 12.
Right.
Much of that goes to the big city school systems, L.A., San Francisco, Oakland. Disasters, waste, closures.
Closures.
And then they spend their time over all their nonsense critical race theory craziness.
That stuff, right?
Yeah, you don't even want to deal with it anymore. You don't want to end up, otherwise you spend your life, what, arguing over Zoom with the blockheads on the school board? Because those school board members don't care about your kid, and the teachers don't care. You care. But they don't. So there's no point going on Zoom and arguing with them. Just don't go to their school anymore. That's the only thing they understand. Then they'll start closing schools, closing classrooms. That'll speak much louder. Eventually, teachers get laid off. Administrators are going to get laid off because every time a kid checks out of the school system, they lose funding. Funding is based on attendance. It's based on the number of students enrolled in attending.
Yeah, to try to bail out the schools, Newsom's budget proposal will allow districts to base their funding on attendance in the current year, prior year, or they can average the three prior years, is the greatest.
They're playing a game for the unions. Because otherwise you're going to have teacher layoffs.
Right. I remember we also told you, there was a story last week, LA Unified's had a very tough time, this very high absenteeism. So even the kids that are left and are enrolled, a good percentage of them aren't showing up. It's a disaster.
And they did all this with their ridiculous, over-the-top pandemic shutdown. And we're still feeling the effects of this. School system was already bad. They made it like 10 times worse. All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's the term person of interest. The big story this hour is New York City police officials have identified a man by the name of Frank R. James as a person of interest in this morning's Brooklyn subway shooting, complete with pictures. Now, based on, they're not saying whether or not he's the shooter, but they definitely want to talk to him. They believe that it was his credit card or a credit card under his name that rented this van out of Philadelphia, which ended up being found near the scene. And, of course, they found other items belonging to what is believed to be the shooter. He seems to match the description, a black male, 5'5", with a heavy build. So, but they're not saying he's the shooter. It's not clear yet, but they are looking for this person. And we've also learned was the subject of some interviews by the FBI for connections to terrorism. So, and that was in New Mexico. It's all very strange. And again, one of the key things we found out today, according to witnesses on the subway, he was muttering a bit before he opened fire.
If he was 62, this is the first time he's done something crazy at 62?
Well, we'll find out if he has a police record. They didn't say that.
Well, it doesn't matter if he has a police record. It matters if he's been doing bad things. You know, sometimes you get caught, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you get caught, but they can't figure out how to make the charges stick. Sounds like that happened in New Mexico.
Yeah, we'll see what his background is, if they ever find him, and if he is the one they think opened fire, because that's not even clear yet, but it's beginning to look like that because he seems to match the description we've heard
all
day.
I don't think he's been a priest for the first 60 years.
He has not been a priest for the whole 60 years. All right, coming up after the news at 5 o'clock, our special guest will be the Sacramento County Sheriff, Scott Jones. A lot of what we'll talk about will be the mass shooting that occurred in the city of Sacramento early Sunday morning, April 3rd. And one of the suspects who was under arrest, that's Smiley Martin, with his early release from prison after a 10-year sentence for punching and whipping his girlfriend. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, along with your chance at gas card money. That's right. We have a $100 gas card gift to give to you if you're the best beggar for the gas card. We take three calls, and our three-judge panel picks a winner. It's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, there's two videos that are worth seeing. One is already posted on the John and Ken page at KFIAM640.com. It's Joe Biden being pooped on by a bird.
This is
speaking today at an event in Iowa.
This is really good. This is like only maybe 15 seconds of your time.
Yes, and then the slow motion replay.
And then slow motion replay so you could really enjoy it. But he's standing there jabbering, got a blue jacket on. And the bird nails him right on his left lapel.
The splotch appears.
Yes. A splatter,
a
almost
runny splotch.
Almost to his flag pin.
Okay, so,
this is great.
The bird was expressing an opinion that many Americans have.
Joe, here's your inflation policy, Joe.
Let's go, Brandon. This video, which we can't play because it's radio, is really pretty amusing. We're going to get the story now from NBC in the Bay Area, Stephanie McGowan, about the police in San Francisco. And I don't know, they don't seem to catch enough of people who smash and grab, right, and break into cars. But they did pull over a driverless car. Here we go.
It looks like an ordinary traffic stop. The officer gets out to speak with the driver, but then...
ain't nobody in it.
It turns into the scene of a futuristic movie.
Well, I was super surprised. I mean, one, because I haven't actually seen one of those cars actually drive autonomously.
He and others thought the cruise car was evading police after getting pulled over. Everyone, including police, were laughing.
I think that they might have been, like, embarrassed because a lot of people were looking at them at the time, or they just thought the whole situation was funny.
It turns out the cruise car was pulled over for having its headlights off. In a tweet, Crew says the AV yielded to police, then pulled over to the nearest safe location for a traffic stop, and added they work closely with SFPD on how to interact with these vehicles and have dedicated phone numbers for them to call. But experts say the clear confusion in this video shows that better protocols are needed.
Clearly, the police were confused. They didn't know what to do.
we need to have processes and protocols and standards that cars can actually communicate. Maybe there's a switch where the cars can be stopped by the police.
Professor Nogg also says there should be bigger effort in training officers and other first responders on what to do with these self-driving vehicles in different scenarios. Cruise started offering free nighttime rides in San Francisco earlier this year. Those who've gotten a ride from them say they're safe.
I did not feel like I was being driven around by a computer. It felt like there was a real human.
He says they went up the hills, past jaywalkers and Mooney buses. He was really surprised by how well the car maneuvers.
The experience was magical.
We reached out to San Francisco police for comment, but have not heard back yet.
Well, I'm watching the video.
I'm not doing this.
Does pull over, and then it pulls away, and then it pulls over again. If you've ever been, I think San Francisco is the only place I've seen this. Sometimes they're out there. What they're doing is they're mapping the routes. The driverless cars are out there, and they pick up
signals and all the nuances
of the drive in the city.
I have no interest in dealing with a driverless car.
No? I thought you thought computers are more reliable than human beings.
They are, but I'm not dealing with a car that has no driver.
You wouldn't sit in the back seat and just let it take you somewhere?
No. I didn't want to pass one on the freeway.
It says, Cruise, join the driverless revolution. That's on the side door.
Because driving is one of those things where 1,000 variations can happen at any given moment. And I just can't imagine how a computer could
account
for all
that. Well, the car's been trained. It's got sensors and cameras.
Yeah, I know it's been trained. But can it possibly be trained in such great detail? And what happens when it refuses to respond? I mean, everything I have that's electronic has glitches in it. Everything.
Eventually, you're right. You know, most things I use too have strange glitches.
I've got weird problems with my wireless at home. I was getting a blank screen for Netflix last night. A couple days before, the HBO app on the TV wouldn't work. Then it suddenly does work. The wireless is on. The wireless is off. You know, and you say, isn't this all high tech? Isn't this all been in development and been used in practice for many, many years? And still, on any given day, something electronic goes wrong in my life.
Well, you have a tough life.
No, all this stuff makes life more difficult because I would rather, if I had just a knob on the TV, I could control it. And this I can't control. I click a button and it sits there blank. What am I supposed to do? Oh, yeah, you can unplug the back of the TV. Yeah, good luck finding the plug in the back of my TV. I'm frustrated almost every day by this stuff.
All right, because it doesn't work. We're going to talk to the Sacramento County Sheriff, Scott Jones. A lot of what we'll talk about deals with the mass shooting in Sacramento in the early morning hours of April 3rd that left 6 people dead, another dozen people injured, and specifically one of the suspects who's been arrested in that shooting, not yet charged with murder, Smiley Martin, and his early prison release.
John and Ken Show, Deborah Mark has the news, KFI AM 640. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
When focus takes hold and distractions fade away, meet Remarkable, the paper tablet specially designed for tasks that demand focus. Take notes, draft, and organize. Remarkable is a digital notebook with the feel of paper and zero interruptions. All of your notes and documents, perfectly organized and in one place. It's everything you love about paper, but for the digital age. Visit Remarkable.com today. Remarkable, the paper tablet.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.